I praise God for this opportunity given to me to come here and share with you people the gospel message. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Paul the Apostle could say these words, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Praise God for the gospel tonight. The gospel, of course, is the good news of God's love to each and every one of us. As we're told in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so this evening, I want to ask us this question. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion's bride and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained by sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Will you turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and reading from verse 1. Paul the Apostle speaking here, and he's reminding these people, and he said these words, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also have received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures, Christ died. It was according to the plan and purposes and will of God that the Lord Jesus Christ must die on the cross of Calvary. And therefore, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. John chapter 3. Reading from verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, or eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Present tense. You can have now eternal life when you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Notice what the Word of God is saying. He that believeth on the Son hath, present tense, now you can have everlasting life, eternal life. And he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God hovers over him. My dear friend, let me ask you this question tonight. Have you received the Son of God? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Have you repented of your sin? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Then the Lord Jesus Christ gave this beautiful message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ hung between heaven and earth and between those two criminals. We read in the scriptures when they came to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified the Lord. We read in the scriptures when the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross and in agony and the blood was trickling down his face and his hands and his feet and his side and his back. He cried these words in agony to his Father and he said these words, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle could say this, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, or believe and receive, unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross. This evening, I want us to take a glimpse of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we take a glimpse of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ tonight, that we might see the outreach of the gospel from the cross to you and to me this evening. First of all, the outreach of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is reaching down to those who are dead in trespasses and in sin. As the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross of Calvary, he was dying in the place of the sinner. He took the place of Barabbas. Barabbas should have been on the cross. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who left the heights of glory and came into this world, was born in a manger, and he grew up to the age of approximately 33 years of age. And then he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem, knowing full well what Jerusalem meant for him. It meant that he had to go all the way to the cross of Calvary. And there, my dear friend, die in the place of the sinner. And there, die in the place of John Comyn. And there, die in your place. The Bible says that he, the spotless Son of God, was made sin for us who knew no sin. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He carried our sins on the cross of Calvary. And as God, the Holy God, meted out his judgment and his wrath upon his Son, God was dealing with his Son as though the Lord Jesus Christ was guilty of all the crime and all the sin that John Corbin had committed. God was dealing with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as though the Lord Jesus Christ was guilty of murder. As though the Lord Jesus Christ was guilty of immorality. As though the Lord Jesus Christ was guilty of adultery. This is how the Lord God, the holy and the righteous God, dealt with his Son. The Lord Jesus Christ was taking the place of the adulterer. The Lord Jesus Christ was taking the place of the murderer. The Lord Jesus Christ was taking the place of a hell-bound, rotten sinner like John Comyn. The Lord Jesus Christ was dying in your place, my dear friends, tonight. No matter who you are this evening, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world what for? To save sinners. And the only way that the Lord Jesus Christ could save us was for him to go to the cross and pay the penalty for sin, which was death. And as the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross of Calvary, he cried and he said these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There is forgiveness from the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the gospel, reaching down to you and to me who are dead in trespasses and in sin. My dear friend, according to the Word of God, you without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in the place of condemnation. You're in the place of death. And the Lord Jesus Christ goes on to say in the book of John's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 24, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but he's passed from death unto life." And you without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in the place of death, you're in the place of condemnation. The wrath of God is hovering over you. But the moment you turn tonight and say, "Lord, I thank you that you took my place on the cross of Calvary. Lord, I thank you that you shed your precious blood. Lord, I thank you that you took the punishment for my sin. Lord, I ask you to be my Savior and I please forgive me and cleanse me." That moment, my dear friend, you are transferred from the place of death into Christ, into life eternal. Have you personally received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? The gospel is reaching down to those of us here this evening who are lost in our sins. You listen to what the Word of God says in the book of Luke, chapter 19 and verse 10. We read these words, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost, of those who are lost. And you without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're lost in your sin. And more than that, my dear friend, you're heading to a lost eternity. And tonight, God is reaching down to those who are lost in your sin. Just think of it. This holy and this righteous God, this sin-hating God, through the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is reaching down to you and to me, who are lost in our sins and heading to a lost eternity. Well, my dear friend, let me say this to you, let me tell you the truth from the Word of God. There are two ways before you. There is the narrow road that leads to eternal life. There's the broad road that leads to destruction. Which of these pathways are you on tonight? Which of these pathways are you on tonight, my dear friend? Are you on the narrow road or are you on the broad road? There are two ways. The Lord Jesus Christ told His story. He said there was a certain rich man who fared sumptuously every day. And there was a beggar named Lazarus. He was full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. The Bible goes on to say, "Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." And it came to pass, the beggar died. What happened to him? We read, "And the angels carried him." The angels were his pallbearers, carried him into Abraham's bosom, or in other words, into paradise. And then we read, "The rich man also died and was buried, set foot under the ground." He was buried. Was this the end of him? The Lord Jesus Christ goes on with the story and he said these words. And only the Lord Jesus can tell the story. For he knows what lies beyond the grave. He knows eternity. And he said these words. The rich man also died and was buried. And then he goes on to say, and in hell. Did you hear that? If you don't believe in hell, my dear friend, you better believe it. Why? Because the Bible speaks about hell. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke about hell. He said, and in hell. The rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, and he said, "Father Abraham, have mercy
on me and send lashes that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in his place.
My dear friends, you're either going to go to that place or you're going to go to the place where the beggar went to paradise. You may say to me, where is paradise? Paradise is where the Lord is now. When the Lord Jesus Christ died and when he was buried, he went down to this place where this beggar was, and Abraham in the place of the departed of the saints. And then when he rose, ascended on high, he led captivities captive with to be with him in glory. In other words, paradise had been rooted out of hell and placed into heaven, the place where the Lord is. The thief on the cross said this to the Lord. Prior to his death, he said these words to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus Christ said these words. Today, you're going to be with me in paradise. So when the Lord Jesus Christ died, he went there. Where the beggar went to, and where the thief on the cross that turned to the Lord went to. And then the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the first fruit of the resurrection. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he was paving the way from this point to glory, to heaven. And hence, now, when a Christian dies, when a saint dies, when a person passes out of the scene, he leaves his body and he goes back to be with the Lord. As Paul the Apostle says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Notice what the rich man said. The Lord Jesus Christ said, being in torment, he cried unto Abraham, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. My dear friend, if ever there's a time for you to call upon God for mercy, it is tonight. Tomorrow might be too late. If ever there's a time for men and women to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, it is now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow might be too late. Notice what the Bible says, what the Lord Jesus Christ says. The beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And then he goes on to say, and it came to pass, the rich man also died. Let's face it. Let's face it tonight, my dear friends. This is real. It's real. Death is real. Death enters the home of the rich and the poor. Death enters the home of the educated and uneducated. Death enters the home of the religious and the non-religious. Death enters the home of the young and the old. And my dear friend, I often say this, that death is not fussy. Death is not fussy. Who knows? Your time could be tonight. My time could be tonight. Death could say to me, come on. What if death was to enter your home tonight? What if death was to claim you tonight? What if you leave this meeting tonight and you get involved in a tragic accident? And you get smashed into eternity. My dear friend, the question is this, where would you go? Where would you go? If you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, if you call upon Him, my dear friend, then you know for certain that you're going to be with the Lord in glory. But if you haven't, my dear friend, listen to this, that's where you're heading for. You're heading on the broad road that leads to destruction. But listen to this. The God of the Bible, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God that so loved the world, hates to see anyone die in their sin. We're told in the book of Ezekiel, God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live. sins. That's what God says. He says, I've had no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God does not want to see anyone here tonight die and go to hell. Hell was not prepared for any one of you here this evening, for any one of us here tonight. No way. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And the devil knows this. But listen to this. The devil is doing his utmost to drag as many as he could to be with him in that place of hell and the lake of fire. And that's what the devil will try and do to you. The devil will try and prevent you from becoming a Christian and prevent you from accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The devil will do his utmost to try and hinder you and try and stop you from coming to Christ tonight. And the devil will tell you all sorts of lies, as he is the father of all lies. And you know what, my dear friend? The devil will say to you, there's plenty of time. The devil will say to you, don't be a fool. The message of the cross is reaching out to those who are lost. And my dear friend, if ever there's a time for you to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, it is now. The gospel message is reaching out to those who are without hope. Listen to this, to those who are without hope. In the book of Colossians, we read these words, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't it fantastic? Isn't it tremendous? The Lord Jesus Christ in you. Notice, in you. And my dear friend, that means to say that there had to be a time and a moment when you received the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. There had to be a time and a moment when you opened your heart door to the Lord and invite Him in and let Him come into your life. So the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does this mean? It simply means that the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, in your heart, is your guarantee for heaven. That's the reason why I can say tonight that should anything happen to me, should I die, this old carcass of mine will just fall here on the ground. But John Coleman will be going to be with the Lord in glory. Why? Because I've received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and this is my guarantee for glory. Christ in you, the guarantee for heaven. Why? When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what we do? We receive the way, the truth, and the life in Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So right throughout this message, my dear friend, you are going to be challenged of receiving the Son of God, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel message is reaching out to those who are without peace. We often hear sometimes people say these words to us. They say, have you made your peace with God? There is no such thing. Nobody can make peace with God. It is an impossibility for any human being, for any one of us, to make peace with God. It is God that makes peace with us. God is the peacemaker. We have to be the peace taker. The Lord Jesus Christ said these words, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace of the brain. How can we reach the source of peace, who is the Lord? You listen to what the Word of God in Christ. Then also the gospel message from the cross is reaching down to those who will call upon the name of the Lord. Isn't that tremendous? Call upon the name of the Lord. Who is the name of the Lord? The name of the Lord is Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus. You
you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save. The Bible goes on to say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible goes on to say, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle said these words in the book of Timothy, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Of whom he said, I am chief. Here is this man, Paul. Prior to his conversion, his name was Saul. And you know what? That name Saul, we take the letter of their name. S, he was a sinner. He said, I'm the chief of all sinners. A, he was an agitator. He was against God. He was against the Lord Jesus Christ. He was kicking against the law. He was against the church of God. He was against the Christians. He caused havoc among the believers. He was an agitator. You for unreasonable. He was an unreasonable person. So was. And Al, he was lousy. That's what Saul is all about. Sinner, agitator, unreasonable, and lousy. But listen to this. When the Lord met him on the road to Damascus, when the bright light shone from heaven and struck Saul, and then Saul got down in the dusty road, and then he said these words, who art thou, Lord? Notice, Saul of Tarsus, the chief of all sinners, turning to the voice in glory, to the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord of glory spoke to Saul of Tarsus, and he said to Saul, I am Jesus, the resurrected Christ in glory. The Lord Jesus Christ who rose from the dead and seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. The Lord of glory, King of kings and Lord of lords. He spoke from heaven and said to this sinner, to Saul, I am Jesus. I am Savior. He used his name, his saving name, Savior, Redeemer. I am Jesus. My dear friends, unless you're willing and prepared to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The message of the cross is reaching out to those who without satisfaction. Oh, there's so much dissatisfaction in the world today. And hear what the Bible says. The Word of God says in Psalm 107 and verse 9, we read these words. He, the Lord, satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Nothing in this world can satisfy the longing of the human heart, the human soul. You without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a vacuum that's in your life, that's in your soul, that cannot be filled, that cannot be satisfied with all the things in this world. Never. Can never be satisfied. Only Christ and Christ alone can
can satisfy a hungry soul. Christ alone. The message of the cross is reaching out to those who will repent. My dear friend, this is a tremendous message. This is a tremendous subject to talk about. Repentance. You listen to what the Word of God says in the book of Acts 3:19. We read, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Notice, repent and be converted. Repent and be converted. Repentance simply means right about turn. Now, I've often used this illustration. Prior to my going out as a full-time worker in the service of the Lord in 1960, I was in the Army, the New Zealand Army, as an instructor, and I was a company sergeant major in the Army. And I used to drill the bods that come into the Army, and I used to instruct them, and I used to discipline them by just giving orders. Now this word repentance, something like this. When I have 200 bods on parade before me, I just give the command and I say, "Company," and the company will brace up. 200 bards will brace up. The next order is given, "Company, attention," and they come to attention. Next order is given, "Company, right turn," and they right turn. Then the order is given, "Company, by the right, quick, march," and they step out, left, right, left, right, left, right, 200 bards marching this direction, left, right, left, right. The next order is given, "Company, bows, turn." What happened? The whole 200 bards heading this direction, right about turn, and heads the opposite direction. That's repentance. That's repentance. You're heading this direction, and when you repent, you right about turn and heads the opposite direction. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Listen to this, my dear friend. You tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're on the broad road that leads to destruction. You're heading for hell. The command of the gospel, the word of God, stop, about turn. My dear friend, you've got to be willing and prepared to obey that command. There are some bards, you know. I've seen it many a time. 200 bards marching this direction. They're somehow or other taking no notice of the command. And then the order given, "Company, about turn." 199 right about turn, and one dopey guy will just carry on. Then all of a sudden he realizes that everybody else is heading the opposite direction, then he looks like a knob. Why? He didn't listen to the command. But my dear friend, listen to this. If you're not going to listen to the command of the Word of God, the Bible says, listen, God commandeth man everywhere to repent. That's what God says. It's a command of the Word of God tonight for you to repent. What does this mean? It means this, my dear friend. Those of you who are delving in sin in your life, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, the command of the Word of God is to turn your back on sin, quit sin. Are you willing to obey the command of the Word of God? That's what it means. Like the prodigal son. The prodigal son came to the end of himself and he said these words, "I will..." First of all, he prayed to God and he said, "I will go to my father and I will say to my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you." That's what he said. And you know what he did? He got up the next morning, looked at Mrs. Pig and the rest of the family, and he kicked Mrs. Pig. And he said to Mrs. Pig, "I've had enough of this. I'm finished with you folks.
living in this pig, stinking pigsty. And then he got out of the pigsty, and then he let turn his back on the pigs and the pigsty, and he came home to the Father. That's what it means to repent tonight. If there's any Christians here that you're back into the world and you're delving with sin in your life, you're in a pigsty. My dear friend, listen to this. Be willing and prepared to quit sin, turn your back on sin, and come out for God tonight. If there's any Christian here, you say that you're a Christian and you're a backslider, it is the will of God for you to repent tonight. Listen to what the Word of God says. God says this, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous, careful, and repent. That's what God says. Repentance. There are some of you here maybe tonight, you know that you should become a Christian, you know that you should accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, but listen to this, you love the bottle more than you would receive Christ as your Savior. You love the bottle, maybe some here, I don't know, maybe you're hooked on drugs, alcohol, whatever it is, the pleasures of sin, the sin of immorality. Repent. This is the Word of God. God commandeth man everywhere to right about turn. Quit that sin. Turn your back on it. Come away from it. Come back to God. And to those of you who know not Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, this is the message for you tonight. Repent. You're on the broad road tonight that leads to destruction. You're heading for hell tonight without Christ and without hope. The only hope for you tonight, my dear friend, is to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon Him. Repent of your sins and cry unto God for mercy. Don't be like that rich man that ended up in hell and then he started pleading and he started begging. Sin lesser than he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in his place. My dear friends, listen to this. If you die in that state, that's where you're going to be, with that rich man in hell. No matter who you are, young or old, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, religious or non-religious. This is God's moment for you. This is God's message to you tonight, to repent and come and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and call upon Him. The last and not least, the message of the cross is reaching out to those who will receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Notice, I said who will receive. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become Christians, to become saved, to become a child of God, to become the sons of God. Notice, as many as received. Are you willing to receive Christ tonight? Just think, my dear friend. Dying on the cross of Calvary is the Son of God. But praise God, not only did He die on the cross, but the Bible tells us He was buried. And on the third day He rose again. Rose again from the dead. The grave could not hold Him. Death could not hold Him. Praise God, He conquered death, the grave, and sin, the devil, and the world. And when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends, we're receiving the resurrected Christ, the victorious Christ, the Lord who died, was buried, and rose again. He's alive. He can be your Savior tonight. But you must be willing and prepared to come to Him and confess and repent and then receive Him into your life. How could you refuse Him tonight? He died for you. He loved you tonight. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Are you willing to come to Him?